We will start with public comment. Anyone public comment? Feel free, stand up and introduce yourself. You got the floor.
Hi, my name is Ken Ayers, and we live right across the road from Bratton Park. So that's kind of, yes, that one. Anyway, so I wanted to comment a little bit about the potential use of it more than what it's being used for. And we've lived there for over 50 years, so we've been kind of responsible for the making the trails and mowing the grass and stuff like that. So I guess kind of ever since the, my vision for the whole area has been, you know, kind of the development, especially the 30-acre east portion of it. I think it's a good area. There's a lot of open land there and stuff like that. So the thoughts I've had over the last couple of years is, okay, could we clean that up and then turn that into a frisbee park like Frenchman Bar has? And last year, talking to a guy about it from the parks, he said he liked the idea. It's just the amount of work that it would take to get it done and the cost of it. And so over the last 3 or 4 years, I've gone over with the bush hog and bush hog knocked the weeds down. I'm thinking, yeah, that's quite a job. The other thought I've had is, could we develop that more to a horse park so it could bring horse trailers in there? The disadvantage of that is the entrance to it being on 389. So I could see that the best way to do that is to put in a road into 9th, which is on the east side, the expense for that. And then the other part is what, say, okay, can we develop the other 50 acres and have trails through that, whether it's hiking trails or horse trails or whatever. When we talked about that a couple of years ago to a representative from the parks, they said it was unlikely that we would be able to do it, because whenever you make a trail, you have to account for all the native plants that are on it and replant them somewhere else, and then make sure that 85 or 90% of them grow 5 years later. So I guess those are, ideas that I would kind of like to pursue. I guess it's a question of whether it's feasible. If those are the rules, the other part is, can public use power tools to help build the stuff? And so I guess it's that whole area of what could we, as a group of people that live up there, since there are enough people that are interested in maintaining it and trying to develop it, can we form groups sort of like the Whipple Creek and take care of it? Because we know the parks is money parks. Tough part. So I guess that's pretty much what I wanted to talk about. I think the other part is...
What was your name again? I'm sorry, I didn't get it.
Oh, I'm sorry, Ken Ayers.
A-I-R-A-S.
A-Y-E-R-S.
Thank you. Thanks for all you do there.
And Ken, it's actually on our agenda here to talk about an update for Brett Canyon, so I'll talk about that a little bit today.
Great.
Okay.
Thanks, Joe.
Anyone else like to comment?
Sure. I'm Jan Ayers, A-Y-E-R-S. And the September 6th meeting that was held in the center, are there minutes of that?
Not here.
Is there a way to obtain those?
Yes. See, the minutes, we didn't record that.
Yeah, it was not recorded.
I guess we don't have minutes of so we didn't take minutes at that meeting. It was an open house, so we didn't take minutes.
Nobody took minutes of a community meeting, huh? Is that normal that minutes are not taken of a meeting?
Well, this is an open house, heads up open house type meeting, so we didn't take minutes for that particular meeting.
And that's routine?
For open houses, yes. I mean, if it's a meeting like this, we're definitely taking minutes. And the minutes that we take are actually video recorded.
Okay, because it would have been nice to have had minutes of that, considering the report from the reflector differed so much from what we who attended the meeting thought. I don't know if the rest of you received the reflector and know what was said, but it implied that everybody was in agreement to what the county and the CRVO have asked for intentions for this 3 acres of Bratton Canyon. And that truly was not the opinion that I walked away with and many others who attended that meeting. So, it's sad that the communication between the media and what truly happened was not representative. And what will happen to the timber that's on this 30 acres of land?
The timber, the fir trees are staying. We do have a forest management plan in place.
A what plan? A
forest management plan to potentially do some thinning if needed, but there's no plan to take any timber down.
Even if the CRVO obtains this lease?
Yes, well, we told them they could take out some of the scrub brush to clear what they need. They're going to utilize the open area as much as possible. But as far as the big timber, we're holding them to not taking any of that down. So there might be some scrub cherry, some vine maple, that kind of thing that they might have to take out, but nothing of substantial.
Well, I don't know how many of you folks have ever been up there, but the county has done practically zilch in the last couple of years. I don't know who redid the watering system. Was it you or the state?
We did it.
You did it? Mm-hmm. Well, and then they turned it off so it was only available for the camp host. Anybody else who wished to be there during the daytime did not have access to water, even though there were water faucets around, which, you know, really discourages use from people who are just going to be wanting to use it as a day camp. We are out there just about every day that we're in the area, and sometimes twice a day. So we know the park. We've been there. We've hiked the trails. As he said, we help remove brush, and the horse people who do use it, we've helped keep it clean of fallen timber and that kind of stuff. Y'all don't realize how much that little patchy parcel of land is being used, because you don't know you haven't been there. And now you can't drive your car into the campground because the gates are closed as of October 15th. So it would be park your car along the road and hike in off of one of the trails or the main road in if you ever want to visit it. Come out and do it. When the state owned it, and they had the campground open back in 1980, there were people there from Germany, England, Switzerland, and stuff like that who camped there, because it was still a campground at that time, just because they had come out from Mount St. Helens. The park was used a lot. Thank you.
Any other? Go ahead.
My name is Greg Stanley. I'm on the property to the north side of the park. I guess carrying on from what Jan's final comment was, is just that I don't think you really realize how much that park is used by the neighborhood and people around that area up there, whether it's for horseback riding, walking, hiking, photography. There have been groups from the school that go there and go running. It is used on a regular daily basis by many of the people around that area. People from a mile or two away will ride their bikes up there, be able to ride through the park. It's those trails on the east side of that 30-acre parcel that really we're talking about that the community uses so much in addition to the 18-acre park. The acreage to the west side really is undeveloped. There's a lot of wetlands in there. So it's really the 18 and the 30 acres that we're talking about. The project itself just seems wrong, sitting out in the middle of a rural area. I know when Councilor Bull was up this last weekend visiting with some of the neighbors up there, he heard the target practice, the guns going off on a regular routine basis, which would seem not conducive to part of what they want to use that park for, considering the veterans' past experiences. But the park is used by a community and by a lot of us, and to take it and use it for a closed off for a specific group of people just doesn't seem right, and we're locking out the rest of the community. Having a hiking trail around the perimeter outside of a fence is not the same thing as riding through and walking through those open trails amongst the trees and the timber that are there. There's a lot of wildlife that's in that park, a lot of wildlife, and I think it's underestimated or unknown, except by the neighborhood, how much is really there and what you encounter and what you're able to see when you're walking through that park because of the status that it is and it exists in now. Those of us in the community would love to help maintain that park, whatever we would need to do to keep the trails cleared, to keep it updated, and to learn more about the specifics of what we would have to do as a group of community members to do that, whether we need to form a group of our own and submit some paperwork or how we go about doing that. We would love to have that opportunity. I can't overemphasize how much that area is used by the community that's there. Because of its rural setting, it's a wonderful place to take your family, your kids in the campground as well, and then have the opportunity to walk through the many trails that are there. The Boy Scouts that are there, they walk through those trails when they're camping there on their visits throughout the year as well. So I'd like to emphasize that point that we really do use that park, and to have that part of the community taken away and used for a specific group and not letting us have access to that area just doesn't seem correct in our minds. Thank you.
Thank you. Are we going to have time to discuss this during the unfinished business section, or would now be a good time to ask a question?
Since it is a topic, if you don't mind, I could start to go over that right now. Do you want to go through all that?
Well, there's more people out there, too. Yeah, I just want to know, because I do have some questions. So
yeah, let's just flow through the regular agenda.
Okay.
Next. Go ahead.
I'm Paul Donnelly. I live about less than a mile from the park. We've been there for about 3.5 years, my wife and me. We have 2 horses, a couple dogs. We use that park. It's one of the greatest things about where we live, actually. It was a surprise. We didn't know about it when we moved in. It was like a week later, we were walking down the road and saw that. And next thing you know, we've got a place to ride the horses off the road, which is a lot safer. There's a lot of people who like to honk their horns when you're riding your horse, try to spook them. It's actually a really great place to be. I guess my biggest concern is that, and it is for the community, and we do use it, and for us that live around it, we really miss it. And then I guess some of my bigger fears is that it fails. They build these structures 5 years from now, and then it just disappears, or it just doesn't really ever happen. And now I know you guys say we might not have the money now to do anything. Where's the money going to come from to clean it up? What's going to happen to those buildings? Are they going to put septic systems in? Is it going to have to be just, can they? Has any work even been put into it to see if it's feasible before? Talk of giving a piece of land away that might not even be used, be able to be built on, just seems to be backwards. And nobody in the commercial construction industry hopes to get something and then And then they don't know they can build on it. It just doesn't make sense. And not to, I mean, even if it was all built, how much would it take to tear it down? Is that going to be in the funds saved 10 years down the line? So if it does fail, it can be restored back to a natural park that the community can use. That's growing all the time. I really hate to see the park get in a place to where now you've got something that is really a disbenefit to the neighborhood. And crime starts going up because of this decision. I guess that's my biggest fear. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
May I speak again?
Let's make sure to get there, everyone. Yes. Anyone else like to speak? Okay. Go ahead.
Are all of you guys, have you seen this letter that Bill received from the Columbia River Veterans Organization?
I have not.
I don't think so.
No.
Okay. I suggest maybe you look it up and maybe study.
Where would you reference that on?
Yeah. Would you be willing to pass it around?
Or link?
I can pass it around, yes.
Okay.
But, I'll pass around part of it anyhow, because what I want is this page. The annual budget that was proposed by Sean Gard in regards to the upkeep of the place, his estimated $1 million that they wanted to, or just under $1 million that they wished to spend on improvements, the cabins, mess hall facilities, the septic system, blah, 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 the fence around the 30-acre perimeter, that sort of thing. I just want to make sure y'all know what we're talking about and what was explained to us on the September 6th meeting. And according to the annual budget, they have salaries for $130,000. And of that $137,000, that would take care of one full-time executive director, Mr. Sean Gard, one part-time cook, and two part-time staff people. If you play with the numbers, they were going to be there for 42 weeks out of the year. Let's just play with the numbers. Let's say they work 20 hours a week because they're part-time. They get paid $15 an hour. Three individuals, that's around $36,000, $40,000 for the employees, which leaves approximately $80,000 to $90,000 for the executive director, Sean Gard. Is that where you want to see this organization? Because you'll be basically supporting the Columbia River Veterans Association by leasing this land to them for $1 a year. Think about it. Is that the kind of organization you wish to associate with?
All right, thank you. We'll go ahead and start roll call. You want to start, Diana?
I'm Diana Kretschmar. I'm the Executive Director of the Parks Foundation.
Kelsey Potter, Parks Advisory Board.
Dave Weston, Parks Advisory Board.
Barbara Anderson, PAB.
Jennifer Halleck, School District Liaison for PAB, Vancouver Public Schools.
Sorry.
That's all right.
Kevin, Parks Advisory Board, thank you for coming and hearing your concerns with us. Much appreciated. We'll see where we could go with the discussion on this.
Thank you.
Sarah Rhodes, Youth Advisor.
Mackenzie Shao, Youth Advisor.
John Spencer, Parks Advisory.
Laura Hilty, Parks Administration Assistant.
Bill Gierke, Parks and Lands Manager.
Okay, moving on. First,
Jeremy. Miss Jeremy.
Oh.
Jeremy, Parks Staff.
All right.
Poor
moving
guy.
On, September minutes. Go ahead and hopefully you've had a chance to review them. Take a look, see if you have any corrections. If not, I'll make a motion to accept it.
Second.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Okay. Motion passed. This is hard to do.
Yeah. I can do some scribbling, though, but you're probably better than me.
Kevin. Let's see. John. Perfect. Okay. Yeah. Yep. All right. Moving on. Youth member update. Bill, you're up.
Okay, great. Well, as you can see, we have our two youth members, and we're very proud to have you here. So thank you so much, Sarah and Mackenzie. Thank you for joining us, and this will be your second meeting with us. So I do appreciate your attendance. And we do have one more meeting coming up. That's in 2 weeks. And then after that, we won't meet again until January. And I hope that you can continue on with us. So we're happy to have you, and we look forward to your opinions and your input as we move forward together.
Thank you for having us.
So I think this is one of the things that we probably kick off the agenda since we've kind of accomplished our goals. And hopefully both of you will stay with us. So.
Is it possible or is it an issue with age to put them on as student group on the agenda on the left, or is
we didn't.
I just didn't know if there was a public disclosure kind of a piece or
yeah, okay. Yeah, we should add them to our
fantastic.
Are you two the ones that will be here and the other two are alternates?
No, the other two won't be coming. The one never got back in touch with me.
Oh, okay.
The other one just went to conference.
Okay, so these are our two.
Yes.
All right, welcome.
All right, on to Bill for a PIF update.
So PIF update, you have the documents there. I am once again amazed at the funding that's actually coming in over this last month. And so as you can see, in PIF 5 acquisition, we've brought in $189,813. In PIF 6, $451,000, which is substantial. PIF 7, $89,000. PIF 8, $247,000. And PIF 9 is $127,000. And PIF 10 is $30,000. That one, PIF 10, actually didn't bring hardly any money in this last year whatsoever, but it's actually on the move this year, which I'm happy to see. I know there's a lot of development going on up in the Mount Vista area, so east of I-5. And so I think we're going to see some numbers start spiking up here real soon. So
that was
the site of the parade of homes this year. And there's a lot of new subdivisions coming in. And talking to some developers who basically bought the property where Delhi's sat on, they are planning on developing in the next 2 years. So we'll see some substantial growth there as well. So I'm happy with the PIF increases that we experienced in this year. That we're actually realizing some revenues that are just coming in at a phenomenal pace. So what that means is these parcels you see down below, on the PIF down below, it shows these are the parcels that are yet to be developed. And as soon as for the neighborhood parks, as soon as we get to somewhere in the vicinity of $1 million, we can pull the trigger and actually move forward with building these parks. With the community parks, such as Curtain Creek, depending on the amenities, we're somewhere between $3 and $5 million is what it's going to cost to build a community park. This site here is considered a community park. It's a sports complex. This one was $9 million because of the sports overlay. But your typical community park is about $3 to $5 million. And so, as you can see, as the monies come in and we start nearing that $1 million mark is what it's costing now to build a neighborhood park, I'm going to go to the board and we will ask them if we can exercise our right to build. So that is our plan. I'm just really pleased at what we're seeing here with the PIF funds coming in at an incredible rate.
Where does Cougar Creek fit on this? Because I know that they've been soliciting funds.
Cougar Creek is in PIF 9.
Yeah.
So we got it's under Sorensen there. And so Cougar Creek is not on this list.
Yeah, that's what I was noting, is that it's not there, and yet I know we've got some plans for it.
Correct. We actually plan to move forward with it in 2018.
2018, okay.
Sugar Creek is, these are the parks that you see here are the original 35 parks, and those are the ones that we are prioritizing. But we definitely want to move forward with Cougar Creek as well.
Thanks.
So, and Kelly Meadows.
As you can see, what's happening?
Go ahead.
Sorensen is completed now, and so all this money is that you see here is going towards Cougar Creek. So the $654,019, that's towards Cougar Creek, which is a community park. However, you know, the community parks cost somewhere between $2 and $4 million to build. So yeah, a little ways to go, but we're moving forward. So that's great.
And Kelly Meadows, are you going to be taking that off this list now that's in the city? Or?
Kelly Meadows, yes. The city is responsible. Just thanks for bringing that up, Dave. So the balance as of 7/31, that's July 31st. That is what we promised to give them at the end of this year. We're going to transfer $260,000 and approximately $260,000 to them, and they will use that towards the development of that site. And so,
for that.
I would think within the next 2 or 3 years, there's a lot of development going on around Kelly Meadows. That's going to get built pretty quickly. So I think they want to push that. That's one of the priorities. So
I know they have that other park that they want to build too.
Yeah, Schaefer Piece. Yeah. But I think they're going to try to push Kelly Meadows ahead.
They will if they keep getting my emails.
What's that?
With how much I've been emailing them, they will.
Yeah, there you go.
All right. Thank
so
you.
So that's it for Beth.
Let's move on. Loose and Clef Trail, Kelsey or Bill? Anyone?
Lead off, Kelsey.
Sure. I guess the only sort of update on my side is Kevin and I and Bill at the All-PAB meeting, we presented kind of to all the other PABs there that we'd like their support for the Lewis and Clark Trail. So asking them to go back to their respective boards and vote to pass a statement supporting the Lewis and Clark Trail. And I gave them a copy of our sample one. Kevin and I kind of agreed as Halloween as sort of our start checking in and seeing how they're doing with that, or if they'd like us to come and give them a mini presentation to kind of light the fire under them. So our goal would be that they approve it as a PAB and then they go to their city council and have them, the city council, also support the Lewis and Clark Trail with a statement or some sort of resolution. So it's kind of where we're at there. People seem receptive at the All-PAB. I think Battleground asked you to come and speak. Did have you done that, or did that fall through?
They haven't dialed in yet.
Oh, okay.
I've waited for Devin's call.
Yeah, so most people after we spoke expressed support and like that wouldn't be a problem. So it's just kind of putting the pen to paper at this point. So that's great. All I got.
And we have a charrette coming up.
We have a charrette coming up on November 18th. It's at Vancouver Barracks. And we've got 150 people invited to the Trail Fighting Charrette. And then with Diana, and thank you, Diana, for lining up the location for us. And then we're actually working on the food aspect of it right now.
Whoop whoop! Good job.
So we've been standing close tabs with Dan Miller from the National Park Service, and just trying to get all of our ducks in a row leading up to the charrette. And so, in addition to that, taking the youth commission out tomorrow on a field trip to, first of all, Camp Bonneville, and the second part, where we're actually going to stop on three segments of the Lewis and Clark Trail. And so that'll be a nice van trip. We're looking forward to that tomorrow. So hopefully the rain will hold off a little bit, but it's supposed to be an inch and a half, so we'll see how much time we're actually going to spend outside. Might be all happening inside the van, but we'll find out. And so, no, looking forward to this. This has been a long time coming, and I hope that we can really get a lot of great things done. You know, looking at the primary trail alignments, the secondary trail alignments, and the ancillary trails that connect throughout the county because of this project. And getting a lot of folks on board, and hopefully we'll get some funding to really start pushing this agenda forward. So,
have we gotten the city on board yet?
City of Vancouver, yeah, seem to be engaged. So,
all right.
So we did give them a presentation at the All-PAB meeting, which was down there at City Hall.
Yeah.
And
super.
Looking forward to having them there. In fact, I've got some of the transportation folks coming to the charrette.
Awesome. You're moving in shaker, Bill. Way to go.
I've gotten the confirmation of the key people, like the planners and the architects. I know you were last time we were talking, you were working on getting the key people there as well.
Yes.
You got
so
commitment from
the presentation city. People with each of the cities.
Great.
So that's what we're going to reach out to them. And then we will also have, I believe, in the neighborhood of 17 or 18 landscape designers that will be attending.
Good.
Yeah, and this is from the American Association of Landscape Architects. And then also, I think we're going to have some college students there.
Yeah,
as well.
To talk. I remember so, the email about some doing good. Some of this CAD design.
I think they might actually invite the youth commission as well if they want to attend that event, just to check it out, sure. see how it functions. So it's a charrette. It'll be good.
Have we figured out what day where the landscape architects are doing their tour?
I was talking to Dan about that, and he was thinking maybe even as far as a week in advance. He thought that maybe we could kind of split up two or three of us and just meet them at different segments along the way or in different cities.
Yeah.
So we got, the Kamloops-Washougal area, Vancouver area, Ridgefield, and then so at least those three groupings.
Mm-hmm.
And they can just meet out there, say, after work one night, and just have a discussion about those alignments out there so they get a visual.
Do we ideally want them to see it when it's light out, though?
That's, that would be nice.
I don't know if we're going to be doing it after work in November.
So, it'd be like sometime early after work. It'd be like 3 o'clock.
3, yeah, okay.
Yeah, 3 to 4, something like that. Spend a good hour just talking about it with them so they can get in their mind's eye.
Okay.
My understanding is you're going to break them into groups based on the different areas. Are you going to be sending out, what group I'm in so I can do more research on that area before the charrette, or will you not have that until the day of?
So it'll be geographically based,
right.
5 different stations, and it's based basically on the cities. So as far as, I think people are just going to line up around the tables that pertain to them, where they have the most expertise. That makes sense.
Sounds good.
Are you going to use PAB or is it designed?
All right. On to the parks tour update, and it also looks like this is the last one until spring. So, if Bill or someone that attended wants to give a little rundown, and then after that we'll run into Brad and Canyon.
Okay. So, on the parks tour, last year was we took a handful of our Parks Advisory Board members out to Brad Canyon just to take a look at it, and walked around that site, and it was... That was our tour. It was a nice tour, and then we came back. But it gave us a chance to look at the existing campground and what the proposed site would look like or work out. And that was a tour. The weather started to really turn, so I thought maybe we could hold off until spring like we did last year.
Yeah.
And before we go out and actually take a look at our sites, I was thinking a good tour to go on would be these conservation futures projects that are going in front of the board here real soon.
Yeah.
And so that would be a good first tour of this next spring. We could start as early as March or so. And of course, it depends on what gets passed. And so I hope that will move forward very well. So is that stuff okay with everyone as far as stopping the tours for right now and picking up next spring?
That makes sense.
Okay. That's
probably a good idea. I have to say, as far as our last tour, I really like that you take the time to take us out, because there's a difference between seeing a picture up here and some of these areas that are out like that. I have to say, they haven't been high on my list to visit because the grandkids want play areas. So thank you for taking the time, Bill.
Sure.
It's been a wonderful educational opportunity for us.
Okay, moving on to Pratt Canyon, the Veterans Retreat update. So thank you folks for coming in and providing some testimony. I really appreciate that. And so, yes, we've gotten a lot of letters from the area neighbors from around, and I've actually forwarded all those letters, both phone calls or voice messages, as well as letters directly to the board of counselors, so they see those. So I've been trying to just keep them up to date with all the information. And so, as of right now, we don't have a date with the board. We were at the meeting, let folks know that we were probably planning somewhere around mid-October. It keeps getting pushed out by the board. So what I knew was that we're gonna hold it on the Tuesday, which is Halloween, the 31st of October, and that got pushed out to sometime in November. So it sounds like there was a board time meeting that occurred this Wednesday, and that is actually on the counselor's grid. If you want to listen to it, so you go to clark.wa.gov, you go to board time, and I understand the first 10 minutes was about Brad King. And so it sounds like they want to do more outreach, and I don't know to what extent. But with regard to the articles that came out, yes, that did get a little misconstrued. There were, at the meeting, and I did talk to a few folks, some of the neighbors that called wanted me to talk to them, so I did talk to them, and I probably could have worded that a little bit better. But at the beginning of the meeting, when we got there at 3:40 in the afternoon, we had some folks waiting for us, and so we had quite a few folks that came through, and for the first part of the meeting, a lot of the folks that came through were good with the concept. And so by the time we got to the actual presentation aspect of the meeting, where it was, 5:30 or so, that's when a lot of folks that were opposed, to the concept of having this veterans camp up there. So I'm basically here to tell you that I'm a facilitator of this project, and it's largely up to the board to make the final decision. We have all the names of the folks that have contacted me. We have the names of the folks that attended the meetings, the ones that signed in. We're going to contact them and give them about a week or 2 weeks notice of when the actual board or the decision package will go in front of the board, so that you guys will know. It'll be on a Tuesday. And so once I know, I will let you know. But as of right now, I don't know when that's going to be. It could be mid-November. I don't know. Talking to Sean Burr over the last few weeks and talking to Councilor Bolts, he's asking if we were to build that camp, if they could omit the fence, the perimeter fence. And I think Sean Burr is saying we'll take a look at that. We can try to do that. The thing they're worried about is, vandalism, whatever they're building, they get beat up, torn up, that kind of thing. So I think that they're willing, if they're going to do this, if it goes forward, if it gets approved, they're going to try to go without the fence so that it won't mess with circulation to the park. So that would be helpful. So anyways, I will...
Now on that fence, Bill, I'm sorry.
What's that?
The fence itself.
Yeah.
Am I misremembering? I thought we were just going to fence the 5-acre parcel there that was going to...
Yes.
In the valley.
Yeah. They're gonna,
not the whole... thing, right?
Fencing around the infrastructure that they're going to build.
Yeah, so just the 5 acres, right?
Probably about 5 acres of the 30. But the actual agreement says 30 acres. The actual footprint is probably going to be around 5 acres of it.
Uh-huh.
And so it'll take up that area that's basically in the clearing that where we're standing looking. And so anyways, that's all I know right now. The board has actually had two boards time sessions that I was not a party of. And so I know that they're definitely talking about it. They've seen all of your comments, so we're trying to make sure that they get all the information that's coming from all the neighbors there. And so it's up to them to make that choice and probably listen to you. If you want to go there on that Tuesday, I'm sure that they will be willing to listen to all of your concerns. Okay? So I want to make sure that you're heard. Okay?
Bill? Yes. I just wanted to ask real quickly, why is the gate locked right now? Why are we shutting that off?
Seasonal closure. It's been locked, and we started opening it up once we got our park host inside.
Uh-huh.
But it typically closes down when we close our restrooms throughout all the park system. So it's closed from October 15th through April 15th, basically. And then
summer, we still have a caregiver there?
They actually come and go. They actually go for a month or two. So we kind of close it down. And so that's been our regular practice for a few years now.
Could we be a little more flexible with that in the future when the caregiver is there to open the gate for neighborhood access? I mean, I think if there's people, do you guys still use it in the winter a lot? I mean, yeah. I think if we have someone there, I'd really like to see that gate open so it'd be easier for them to get in.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I get the justification for having it closed when there's no one there to, watch the property, but... I mean, I hate to cut off access when people are using it if mm-hmm. there's someone there. So just, I'd like to maybe see if we can do that.
Yeah, you can consider it. If they're there, then maybe they keep it open.
Mm-hmm.
It's a possibility.
What kind of gate is this? It's a car access gate? Or?
Yes, it's a car access gate.
Car access, yeah.
Yeah, blocks the roadway coming up.
And then the water? Yeah. What's...
So the water is the problem. It's the well up there generates about 3 gallons a minute. Oh. There's a leak somewhere in that loop system that goes around the campground. And so it pretty much depletes the water system. That's why it's shut off. Because we can't find that leak. And it's such a small leak, and yet it's enough to drain the pressure tanks that we've got. And so to keep our host in water, we've got to shut the loop off. And so it's a matter of trying to find that leak and figuring out where it's at. So,
okay.
Which is problematic.
You showed us three different. Earlier on the minute, I have 11 pages of notes, but I didn't check those and put those out because Jeff Mize, our PIO, actually put together a recap, which we saw, but I don't know where it went.
The recap from Jeff Mize?
Yeah.
I'm not sure where we put it.
Okay, but we could make that available.
Yeah, you can put that on our parks grid so you can see that. Yeah. So we've got it. So, yes.
Some of the concerns, especially the local people, was the limited number of people who were informed as to the September 6th meeting, because it appeared as though it was just basically those who were closest to the perimeter of the park, but far more people deeper in or further out, however you want to say it, mm-hmm. a greater radius from the park,
right.
also used that park, and they were most upset that they did not hear anything about what was going on for the September 16th.
Yeah.
So we sent the mailer out to the people in the half-mile radius around the park, so about 370 mailers went out altogether. And so that's, as far as mailing, that's about as far as we were able to go, you know, because it's expensive to do the mailing. And then I think we did, there was a heads-up prior to that meeting as well, and on a press release. And so
where was this press release? Was it in the Columbian or the Reflector or what?
I think it probably came out either when the heads up goes out to all the media, and so anybody, all the radio stations, the media, all those folks. Yep. And so I don't know where that went out to. Typically it goes out to the Columbian, Reflector, and in fact KXL, I think, got a copy of it. And so,
I mean, the majority of us, I don't know about you folks, but we don't receive the Columbian. Mm-hmm. And yeah, we receive the Reflector, but we don't always, you know, get it in a timely fashion because of the way the Reflector enters its news in. So, you know, we don't always know what's going on until it's history.
Yeah, and I have to say that I think that half mile, we've had complaints about that for years, and yet you're trying to balance the expense of these mailings. They're so expensive. And even in a densely populated area, you know, like Phillida has made big sounds about the notification.
And I'm going to be honest, in a development, a half mile is a very large notification.
Yeah.
I'm normally 300, 500 feet, so... Like a half mile is
a lot,
way more than the standard development community will do.
Yeah.
So, admittedly, this is a rural area, so
right.
we're talking far fewer. But
I think we really should look at some stronger means, only because I acknowledge there's problems on both sides, you know. Mm-hmm. But it's something that we've heard a lot about, the lack of notification of some of these open houses. So I think we need to be a little bit more creative in how that information gets out. Because even when we send media heads up out, mm-hmm. doesn't guarantee it gets any type of real focus. Now, as our Facebook page gets a little more active, mm-hmm. and we post things there, like I put this meeting on it, so as you guys need to go out and like us now.
Yeah. Guys,
I am not
that.
A Facebook user. I don't do any
okay.
social media.
Well, that is one of the places, but there are other ways. I would really like to see us with a better newsletter going out to an email list, and that would be a really great thing. Or I don't know, can we call on our Parks Foundation to help us socialize some of these events?
Are all these events are posted on the county's website as well? like was that on the county's website somewhere in upcoming events? Or?
Yeah, it's on the calendar, but a lot of people don't go look at the calendar.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. I have never gone to a county website until this hassle came up. And well, so,
learning opportunity.
I'm paying attention to that. That's not in my
understand,
yeah.
But at the same time,
okay.
I mean, if you got if you want to be informed, we have to reach out and try to be informed. Yeah. So I understand both sides, but yes, we need to attempt to have.
What about the park itself? Were there any postings made at the entrance?
Because that would be.
So that would be the launch.
It gets so expensive
to do. Where it says the people who are using it most likely to care.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That would be the quick and easy answer anyway for me.
Yeah. I didn't quite hear that.
Postings
at the entrances to any park that's
been discussed.
That's a great idea.
Similar to any other development posting. That.
And in response to the question to me, I'm happy to share any information that I'm shared and put out on the Parks Foundation website and to let people know what's going on. Yeah. So that's always open as a form of media for you, and we can also put it in our e-news blast that goes out monthly. But, you know, with, I guess coming from the healthcare world, I'm a big believer in when you want to find documentation, you can find documentation. So no matter where I'm spreading something out, I might have to go dive into Epic and read for it. But, you know, I'll do my best to help share.
Yeah, I'm just saying we can do better on both sides.
So on the staff report that we're going to be submitting, along with that, you will see the actual agreements that we have drafted up. And so please feel free when that does come out to read it. And we'll try to notify you when that does come out and when it's going in front of the board for consent. And so that you will have a chance to read that. In that agreement, there's a performance clause, which means they have to act and they have to do their part. Otherwise, they lose that opportunity. So.
I was just going to state on a couple of the dates of the meetings I attended. Following the meeting in Le Center, the open house, we had a neighborhood meeting on September 28th. We had 45 in attendance discussing the park and our concerns. And I would say about a third of those people had not received the heads up notification mail, getting them fairly close around. Since that time, you mentioned that the topic was brought up at two board times. I sat in on the first board time.
Okay.
And it sounded like from two or three of the counselors, they had not received the information that they thought they needed or hadn't had a chance to look at it. So at that point, Mark Bolt did ask that all the information that was out there be gathered and given to everybody and then we come back and review in 2 weeks, which is what we listened to on the board time from the meeting just the other day, and I did listen to that. There were four of us that met with Mark Bolt and Jay Olson last week. We did go yesterday?
Yeah.
With our concerns, it turned into an hour-long meeting. We were assured at that point that we would have the opportunity to hold a meeting where they could come attend and listen to the public's concerns. I think Marks and Julie's concern at that point also was that there may not be enough information out there to answer a lot of the questions. Some of the counselors had those same questions. The first board meeting, and listening again to the minutes from the second board meeting, they're still sharing a lot of those concerns about questions not being answered, et cetera. So that would be part of that community meeting as well. To my knowledge, at this point, there's not been a date set for that meeting.
That's correct.
But we were assured that it would not come before the board for consideration or voting until we had an opportunity to have that public meeting. Preferably, it's going to be out in North County. We have a fire station. We can hold it. Hold at least 100 plus people. So when we know that, we have to invite all of the parks individuals too. It's kind of disappointing looking at the register list here that there's nobody representing the north part of the county that's on the board. But If you haven't been to the park, please take a trip out and walk through it. Just see what's there.
All right.
Take a look at the...
We got to keep moving. Hate to cut you off. Any additional on Bratton Park before we move on?
Do we have any numbers on usage of that?
The only numbers I've got is from our host, who's on site there, and she sees folks come and go out of there. It's not a lot of folks, but she said that it gets used regularly, you know. So she says what she sees, you know, it's probably, you know, less than a dozen per day, typically. But that doesn't mean she's seen everybody that's coming through.
Okay. Moving on, PAB logo.
Oh, the PAB logo. Well, as of right now, the cutoff date is December 31st, and we've not yet received any submittals. I have been trying to do some follow-up with the schools. Chris said that he'd run with it at the last meeting, and I did forward the info to him, but have not been able to connect with him.
When's the expiration date on that?
December 31st is the cutoff midnight.
And it's not just for schools, right? It can be for a community member or anyone, or
no, we decided just for students.
Okay.
Just for students, not necessarily just one school. We sent it to all the private schools
right,
as
right.
well.
Right.
I think I sent a list of all the schools mm-hmm. I sent it to. Mm-hmm. So we need to maybe do some follow-up and try to push the agenda to get some submittals. I know I've asked my grandkids to shake their artistic friends and get them on board. So along that line, and I got a call in to reserve a date in February for the presentation. I thought going for the evening, the BOCC meeting that's in the evening would be best, since it will be a student, so that they can be acknowledged for it. And we do have one pizza donation so far, but we plan on getting a little gift box of donations and such for the winner. And then, of course, Philida is doing the trophy for him. So it's moving forward, but we're not going to see any real action. I do think that we need to pull our subcommittee together and put together the... ranking thoughts, because that's not anything we're going to pull out by air, but I think we're going to have to justify our selection with so much was based on this criteria, at least based on your feedback from last time, and I've not yet done that. It's been a challenging month for me, so I kind of fell down on getting that meeting together, but I'm anxious to see it. I'm excited.
Okay. And it's for
I did just corner this lady too.
It's for students only or schools?
Students.
Students. Okay. How about, do we have any ability to email the neighborhood association so that maybe?
Oh yeah, I can do that, and I've already done it with NAC.
Yeah, NAC.
Yeah, I already did it with NAC.
You're always on top of things.
If you can give me the information, I'll send it over to Catherine Stackpole at Evergreen School District. Working with her on
good
sport equipment and
see if she's okay. Well, let me corner Chris first. I've sent him an email. I got his number again, and I'll
go both ways.
Go both ways. Mm-hmm. I don't want him to feel like I looped around him, though.
He shouldn't feel that way if he doesn't show up.
Running down like this, so.
Just being a perfect reason to have students on our committee.
Yeah, I gave that to them. I did say something to them at the last meeting.
Yeah, I actually spread the information, and I have a really good friend who's into industrial design, and so she's actually been interested in it, so hopefully I can work her a little bit more.
Send me the information. I can share with you.
Absolutely.
And IQ has branches in, I think, 4 of the high schools, and see if they can help promote it.
Super duper. I'll connect with you later.
Maybe they could give someone $50 cash for winning.
Or an IQ. Are we looking for things for if you win? Get
yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're
so
looking
IQ
for.
So IQ wants to sponsor.
We're going to have a little box of.
You haven't hit me up yet.
Yeah. We're looking for. We're looking for some support through, and the feedback I've gotten is that the kids love coffee gift cards and pizza gift cards.
And money. It would be great if we didn't give kids coffee gift cards.
I'm just telling you, when I asked them what they like, there's that.
I just went straight for that.
I don't know. Even some principals may filter that out and not even promote it.
Oh, well, whatever. Just saying what the kids told me they'd like.
I know.
But we wouldn't turn down much of anything, I'm going to tell you that.
I'll be happy to reach out. We've had Blind Onion sponsor a golf tournament and some other stuff. So if you guys are in need of sponsorship things, I can ask for them and then seek them as any kind of...
I wanted to save my ass for something big later.
Oh, God.
But that's okay.
Keep asking.
Here, I'm a mother of six. I'm used to an ask on a regular basis. So
all righty. Consider yourself asked, girl.
Okay. Facebook update.
Oh, Facebook. I write Barbara an angry email every week about the Facebook page. So this week when I tried to log in, they essentially accused me of being like a robot. And I had to like submit a photo of my face to prove I was a real person to access the park's profile I created. So
it's only so that they can tag you and everything else.
Oh, God. Yeah.
So it's like conspiracy.
It's so ridiculous. So anyways, they deemed my face from 3 years ago, I guess, fit their profile of someone who makes a parks page. So they let me go back in and access it. So Barbara and I are plunking along, putting posts up one or two a week. We only have about 35 likes. If you're on Facebook, can you please go to the page? And there's an option where you can click invite friends to like this page. If you could do that, then they like it and we generate more likes and their friends see it. So, I mean, we want this to have a big reach. And if we don't have a big reach, it's really not going to be helpful for our purposes of what we're trying to do, which is disseminate information. So, Diana, maybe if the Parks Foundation could share our page, I don't know, something where we could get some more attention. So, examples of things we're posting are like when our meeting was, what else have we posted?
The safety fair,
our tour out to Bratton Canyon.
What's the name of the page?
The Clark County Parks
Advisory Board. And there are two pages
out there.
You'll
only see the page because I think I made it so you can't find the profile.
Oh, did you?
Super. I tried because Facebook doesn't want you to... Facebook wants you to have a personal profile like me, Kelsey Potter, and then run the page under my name. But we decided I didn't want to do that because I didn't want to be subject to public records disclosure from my personal account. So I created this one account and then the page under it, which I guess, anyways, Facebook and I are fighting. So we're still definitely working through some kinks. But
it's getting smoother.
It's getting smoother, and I think it could be a great way to like address some concerns for people who are on Facebook and feel like they're not getting a lot of information about meetings or notices. It's a good resource to have. But we've got to get more people in the community to know about it. So, yeah. That's about it with the Facebook page. So if anyone has any sort of thing they think would be good to share or went to a park and took some pictures or saw something cool, email me or Barbara and I can post that. So
there's been a lot of work done on the Facebook page, and I know it doesn't seem like we've got many likes yet, and I understand it's kind of a numbers game, but I wonder with our youth members here if there's another social media platform that would be worthwhile for us to explore.
Yeah.
Instagram is big. I know Snapchat is big. I'm on Instagram.
I think Instagram and Twitter would be really good. We could, you know, tweet, hey, there's a meeting today, you know, here it is on Twitter, and that'd be, you know, something that'd be great.
And you can link the two together.
Notifications on Facebook. We need to get a notification on Twitter when there is a meeting, and that way people know.
I think Twitter's a better resource. I thought about Instagram, but like, Instagram's mainly like photos, you know? I mean, you could still write stuff in the comments, like,
right,
hey, we have a meeting. But I think Twitter might be probably the next more logical step.
Mike just says you can post to Facebook and have it auto post to Twitter as well.
Yeah.
Actually, you can do all three.
Yeah.
So, and the key to Facebook and the key to building your brand is building your reach. And the way you do that is by tagging people in, tagging in where you're at, making sure you cross-pollinate amongst friends.
Yeah.
That's the reach. So every time you share something, if you shot an email tagged in the Parks Foundation, it tags that on there, it sends it back to me. I can post it out, send it to Vancouver Parks and Rec. We can put it on different things. Mm-hmm. The power of it is the reach.
Mm-hmm.
Just
And I paid money to like boost our post. And I think we got like 3 likes. And I was like, I'm paying over $1.50 per like, so I'm out of the advertising.
But you have to understand how you boost a post. You have 38 people on the page. You boosted a post to share it with all of their friends.
Yeah.
38 people, and if, say, each friend only has 400 friends.
Only. I have like 12 friends. Go on.
Okay, but I have none. It's okay.
But like in my line of work, I have over 2,000 friends because I want to make sure what I say gets out to the people I need to reach. So I keep building on my friends and building on that base. So when I send something out and I boost my Parks Foundation post, it goes to 1,800 people on the Parks page. It goes to my 2,000 friends. And it's like the old Fabergé commercial, and so on, and so on, and so on. And that's how we build it, is we all share it. He's got a Ports page, don't you have a Ports page? Build it up through all of us to share, and the more we do that, the bigger your reach gets. And if you ever have questions, I'll be happy to help you with that, because that's one of the best medians for our foundation to reach out to people and tell them what we're doing.
Yeah.
I've seen actual smoke come out of her phone. She's using that thing on Facebook so much.
It's free.
Smoke, yeah.
You guys talked about mailers. You know, if I can reach 4,000 people on Facebook and I don't have to send out 3,000 mailers, there's something to that. And then you just go to Twitter, you go to Instagram, LinkedIn. LinkedIn is another really good way to share what an organization is doing, especially the Parks Advisory Board. Because professionals have a dog in the fight about what's going on in our community. I look at LinkedIn all the time, and I'm always dropping Parks Foundation stuff on there.
Okay.
All right.
Conservation Futures.
Like Twitter and those weird things, but yeah.
Conservation Futures. So that is, we have a hearing coming up on November 7th.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Next,
November 7th. And so that's 10 o'clock in the morning. And looking forward to that. I'd like to see a lot of you come to that, support it. That would be great. So of the 12 projects that we looked at and rated, the counselors were in support of those 12 projects. I said, go forth and bring this to a hearing. And so that's what we're doing. And so reaching out on the projects themselves, there's two of them that are kind of faltering. The two property owners are kind of backed out on us a little bit, and we don't know if we're out of the game or not, but we might actually only have 10 projects going forward out of 12. The one is the one in Richfield. That was the property that would link the new sports complex to Flume Creek. That one, that property owner. And the other one is along the Slashy Trail.
I knew it was going to be that one.
Yeah, so we'll see where that goes, but anyways.
Now, are they faltering because they want more money, or?
No, they're just not really sure if they want to sell or not the property.
Okay.
So with that, we are definitely going forward with the Conservation Futures projects, and that'll be on November 7th, and I look forward to seeing you there.
Has there been any concern from the council's perspective? It sounds pretty solid to me about lots of
them. No, we've talked to the counselors. They were actually okay with it. And Counselor Stewart, I think she had some questions, you know, she's as to be taking a closer look at all these, but they've actually been better. And most of them said, just put it forward in front of us. And so that's what we did. And we'll see where they go. So, I mean, obviously, until they pass it, we won't know exactly what's going to get passed or not. I mean, it's going to be 12 projects, or even the options that we presented to them, they could always have that discussion at that time and make a different choice from what we're understanding.
That part of the way it works is we will bond for 12 million or whatever the number was, and if a project falls through, we still have that money and the board can choose another project.
Do you want us to testify in public comment in support of it at that meeting, or do you just want our faces there?
It is a hearing, so there's going to be public testimony. So, yes, it wouldn't hurt.
Okay.
So, yeah, I think it's a good idea.
Okay.
Now, on our youth members, if either of you want to attend and you need a ride, give me a call. Because I'm planning on going, so I'd be happy to give you a ride if you need one to and from school.
Okay, thank you.
So the hearings typically
Okay, safety fair.
Well, that was a fun day, wasn't it, Dave?
It was nice.
I think
smoky, but nice.
It's smoky, yeah. Oh, yeah. I died after that. And in fact, it was probably the lowest attendance I've seen at that safety fair. And I've been going there on the neighborhood side for 11 years now. So attendance was way down. But despite that, I still think it was a real positive interaction. I sent you out. Dave and I put together a little questionnaire, primarily because how often do we get the opportunity to chat with people directly? I mean, the attendance today is, here at our meeting, is unusual, right? So having these opportunities to meet and greet and find out what people are thinking is an opportunity not to be missed. We didn't have time to do a formal study on the questionnaire, but you can see here we asked them just some simple things. It gave us the opportunity, instead of standing at a table and waiting for people to come to us, because we forgot the wooden cookies that would have drawn them to us. Yeah, he made a bunch of wooden cookies, but they weren't in the box. But that was okay. So we had it was all good. We had our little clipboards and looked official, and that way we walked out, and it gave us an opportunity to say, hi, do you live in the area? Do you go to our parks? And it was a real nice way to do an intro, but not only that, I think it got a little information for us to use. We just had a little list of 10 items and said, can you rank these for us on their importance to you? You know, what type of park facility do you value most, was the question. And then walkable local parks, larger community parks, indoor community centers, natural areas and trails, equestrian use, sports fields, off-leash dog parks, splash pad or swimming, boat launch or fishing, biking, hiking, skateboarding. And we just pulled those off of questionnaires that we've used in the past for our comp plan for the last couple of times. And then based on that, we asked them to rank them 1 to 10. Now, I need to tell you that not everybody went 1 to 10. Some only ranked 4 things. And then the weighted totals that you see here is that the things that they thought were most important, we gave 10 points to, just so that you could see the significance. And then based on the weighting of 1 equals 10, 2 equals 9, etc., we were able to come up with and give you an idea of where this particular group's priorities lie. I'm visual, so for me, I made the little pie chart for you, which made it, you know, real easy to see that that they are really heavy into the walkable local parks, and natural areas and trails are a second. So that just gives, I think, us another way to look at where things are valued. The other questions we asked that we thought might have some impact was their zip code, but I didn't break it down by zip code. But that was so we could filter out any Oregon people that were there, and there were 2 that I've talked with. I don't know about you, Dave. So we asked, can you walk to a developed park or trail from your home, yes or no? And you can see that, and I loved seeing this, Bill, where 91% of them said yes, that they could do it. That tells us that we've really made some progress, because it wasn't that long ago, it was a much lower number. But that's because we got Chinook in there now. how important is it to you to have a park or trail within walking distance? We can see right away that under the very end somewhat were the highest listings there. In fact, there wasn't one person that said it wasn't at all important. People really like their parks. Then we said, okay, so do you use the local or regional parks? It's one thing to, can you walk to them, but do you use them? And once again, we see people are using them. And do you use the local or regional trails? And once again, high usage. And it's not that only the parks people came to us, because we walked around there and initiated the conversation with people randomly. And then you should feel proud about this number, Bill. We asked, how do you rate the current level of maintenance for park facilities?
You were getting judged, you didn't even know.
Yeah, you were getting judged and didn't even know it. And I will say that the one person who had a lot of negative, and were you there when she came down about the don't water the parks and yada, yada,
city
yada.
City park.
It was a city park. But we still had to take the hit on that because they responded. At any rate, I really felt that this was an effort that was well worth doing, although I suffered for weeks from that smoke. That was awful. I mean, I got such a cough from it. I sacrificed for the cough. But no, it was a good thing. I highly recommend that we do, but have more people come with us, right?
Yeah, I think.
Anything to add?
I did notice, and this is where the all PAB is important, is a lot of people don't know the boundaries between it's a county park, it's a city park, it's a Washington. They have no idea. It's a park. And talking to people, they're like, oh, I go to one of the county parks all the time. It's blah, blah, blah. And I was like, no. And then I was like, oh, I know where that is. It's like way north. It's definitely not a county park.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And or it's a state park. And so I do think learning the other jurisdictional parks is beneficial to all of us, and that's when we went into the
I didn't get a chance to go through that notebook of all the cheat sheet stuff.
No, but...
But I did have that information there.
So I definitely recommend we get out and see some of the other jurisdictional parks.
And if you guys need help making that happen, I can work with Julianne and Vancouver, Getty, Battleground,
So, I think the one other thing to add is that our little brochure, because I handed the brochure about PAB to each of the people, you'd be surprised how many of them didn't really know that we existed or that we were there as a voice for them. So we do need to educate people that they've got a resource.
I think the event was good. I do agree that it seemed very light. I think we should do it in the future, and I think we should do additional events like that. I do think it was nice. It was nice talking to people. So,
that's all I've got on it. Thanks, guys, for doing that.
Well, thank you for being on the visit. It was great. You guys did a good job.
We recently had an all-PAB meeting. I think it went well. Bill, you want to talk about it? Or
yeah, it was actually nice. The city of Vancouver hosted us down at City Hall, and we did a tour of the new waterfront project. It was a really great tour, and it was nice. So Terry Snyder, who's their landscape architect, he gave us a tour through that whole entire site, you know, and told us about all the trials and tribulations they've gone through and everything. And it's moving forward. I'm happy to see that it's taken a lot of their time. It's their entire focus is trying to get that waterfront built. But it is moving forward, and it's going to be a neat project when they get done with it. It also adds about a half mile to the Lewis and Clark Trail, which I'm always that's wonderful. And it was a really good venue. Basically, went around the room. We talked about the Lewis and Clark Trail. What else we talked about? We talked about the collage. I think that was about it. And then all the other jurisdictions spoke up a little bit, had a chat about what was going on in their neck of the woods. So it was nice. I don't know who's going to host us next or host the.
It looks like Washougal.
Oh, Washougal.
Uh huh. I'm working with Jen on that, and tentatively, they have got the community center out there for February 22nd, because we kind of talked about the date on it, And with them being out near the gorge, they really felt that the earliest that they could count on weather supporting an event would be, and that they could get the community room for, was the 22nd. But we'll be getting a save the date out as soon as she gets the confirmation on the room and such.
Well, one thing we could possibly do, as if we're going out there, is that's one of the Conservation Futures projects. Go look at that site that we're going to acquire as a result of that. So that might be.
Yeah, that would be interesting. Yeah. But yeah, we didn't get a volunteer that night, but. But I thought that out that direction would be next, and Suzanne's pretty excited about maybe doing it.
That's awesome.
Perfect. Pavlov Sure distribution. Who's doing that? Anyone?
So we had the tab brochures printed up that Barbara so willingly and beautifully designed. So they're available if any of you want to take them back to work, community, wherever. So we have them here if you want to take any with you.
Now, is there a chance to get them? I noticed that down at like 1300, they've got some informational things out. It wouldn't hurt to put some there. I mean, it gives exposure to people to let them know. And then I know that I'm giving some to Mary Lee for NAC. But yeah, we don't want to get rid of all of them though, because we've got another event coming up. We could print more. Yeah, I know how tough it was getting these printed.
But now we have it. It's
You'll have a new budget come January though, right?
Oh yeah.
The second half of the biennium.
Yeah.
Good. Are we going to be able to get those trail maps done up?
As soon as Monica gets them. Their procurement is holding them up.
Yeah, she was saying that
we ordered 5,000, so we've got a lot coming.
Yeah.
So.
Well, didn't she say that Vancouver doesn't want to kick anything in on it? And that was why she couldn't get them for us for the. Because she told me that she'd ordered them.
I think that they had to go do some quotes or something like that. Procurement was holding them up. It wasn't the.
Oh, I thought it. I thought she said budget.
It was the process that they had to go through to get those things.
Yeah. Okay.
The trail maps. Yeah, we ordered 5,000. Yeah.
They asked me to see if what I could do to help put money into it, but we can't do anything unless we get all of our grants from the county from you guys. So
this is special printing, I think.
It's the stuff that I put in membership packets and give out to everybody. So we looked at the thing. We could put dollars to it. And the special trail maps you guys have.
Yeah.
Like the handouts.
Start collaborating and getting that single map that covers everybody so that we can get it cheaper.
Yeah.
I can't.
Right.
So.
Okay. Well, sounds like they're having problems financing them then, obviously.
So is there a trail group? I know this and it just has fallen out of my brain.
Uh-huh.
Is there a trail group that's working countywide to get that collaborative single map that covers Washougal, Camas, you know, Vancouver, and then us outside of those jurisdictions, so that we've got only one map to do? Because that was one thing I noticed, is that in order to get the full picture, we had, what was it, 3 or 4 maps there.
Yeah.
And people don't want to go to 3 or 4 maps.
Sounds like a good application to leadership Clark County.
Yeah. No, I don't think they have a specific group that's actually focused
on
that.
We need one.
Yeah, we need a group that's going to do that. You know, we've got groups like the Washington Trails Association that are actually doing work in our parks. As far as a group that does that, you know, they put mapping together.
Sure, Miss Jean Akers, don't we?
We've got the bike and pedestrian group that might be able to engage in that. And through our community planning, that's somewhere in Lebowski's group, and they might be able to help us with that.
Well, maybe we can drive that effort. It needs to be done. Same with the wayfinding maps. I think I got one of the last ones. Somebody tried to walk off with it, and I wouldn't let them have it. I said, no, that's a personal copy. I'm not usually greedy, but...
Checking Monica again on those.
Yeah.
What's happening?
Okay. Moving on to new business. PAB officer nominations.
This is always such a riveting
day. So, given that it takes such an effort to accomplish anything, you're going to do it right, is it self-nominations? Because you can't, I mean, I could sit here and throw out a nomination,
yeah,
but
Barbara,
just like,
Barbara,
no, no, those grandbabies of mine are just challenging me far too much. Besides, I still feel that new blood is always important. Too many times you see the same chair, and I'm not going to name names, that sit there year after year after year, and they stagnate because they think all of a sudden, you know, that it's just their vision. So one of the things that I think this group has had is a change of leadership enough to where the new blood brings new ideas. So, yeah, I could do it, but I'd rather support him, Dave.
Yeah.
But I was thinking of you as the young fellow, and you got the new baby, so you said no. So is it self-nomination? I think people need to speak up. Otherwise, they're going to get nominated and say, no, I don't want to, and then that's embarrassing. I'm asking.
I'm not gonna
How about a show of hands of who wants to be chair?
Jay, have you been chair for a whole year?
Yeah, apparently. Yeah, I have. I guess one of my questions is, what's Kelly's status? Do we know?
Well, that's a problem. Kelly's term is up as of... Well, this is a weird time for us to be doing the new person when people's terms are ending and you don't know if they're going to carry over.
Right, yeah. Right. We have actually have three terms that are expiring.
Well, who's going?
It's on the sheet, the next sheet. Oh, yeah. This one right there.
Am I one of them?
It's on the next sheet.
Is anybody leaving?
No, you got another year.
I've got a year. No, I've got a year.
I'm guaranteed.
18, 17.
Oh, Kevin, because he's 6.
Oh, Kevin, you're out.
I renew. I told Bill I'd renew. And so they're 2-year terms, right?
3-year.
3-year terms, yeah. 3-year terms.
So really, Kelly...
You poor child. No term expiration.
I have nothing. I have to keep coming.
It's a never-ending nightmare.
It's like Groundhog's Day.
So, I don't know. That's a question that Diana's asked as an ex officio. Could you actually be a member as a citizen?
I beg your pardon?
Sure, if you represent...
Be a board member, you know, as like Jennifer, Diana here, they're ex officio members because they represent, you know, like the school district,
yeah,
the Smoke Parks Foundation. Yeah. I don't know if they can sit on the board as an official member,
no,
as a citizen, but I don't think
they can. So they're not allowed to vote, so, you know.
They're ex officio.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so I don't
just
have
be getting someone else from the Parks Foundation to sit as your Parks Foundation rep, and if you would like, if you were interested in doing, just because you... So someone else from the school district could be
right, then you,
as a citizen, or if they wanted to do the liaison role, and I wanted to do it from a citizen's role, I could.
Yeah. Have you thought of continuing on, Jay?
I have no problem continuing on, yeah, as a chair.
Kelsey, have you thought about throwing your hat in the ring to sit with him?
Yeah, I mean, I would be. Okay. Yeah.
I always like two heads.
Yeah, two leads.
Yeah. I'm fine.
Is there anyone else who wants to throw their hat in the ring?
I still got to get my feet on the ground.
You got to get nominated and accepted first. Yeah, that's the problem with this. Doing it in November instead of January. That doesn't make sense.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
Well, we can actually finalize this at our next meeting, which is 2 weeks from now.
Yeah.
Right? I think it's just preliminary.
Well, yeah.
You got a new baby coming in.
You'll have no.
Okay, how about secretary? You going to carry on as secretary?
I mean, if someone wants to do it, have fun, but I have no problem doing secretary.
I think you've done the best job of secretary. I'm not just saying this, but you have done the best job of secretary as we've had, because you come with a laptop and you just can get it done right then.
I have no problem. If someone else likes to, Kevin or anyone,
just have at it.
No, I really don't.
You're a good man, Dave.
It's good.
Dave, if you can't make him on occasion, it'd be more than happy to stand up for that.
Okay.
That's
See, now you're off.
So now we have co-secretaries.
Oh, thank you. See, I wanted to talk to you about it at the last meeting, but you left, because I figured if you knew you could spread it, it would spread.
So are we voting now then?
No, it's
just nominations.
Yeah, nominations, okay. And then you'll do. I won't be here next time. My brother's having heart surgery that day. Oh. But can I make my votes? Can I leave my vote?
You can leave your vote with Bill.
So I'll leave my vote with
you. Barbara, let's go ahead and use that as your vote. And you
all right. Thank you.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm not ready to take a lead position yet.
You just
I'm still learning everything, but I'm more than happy to continue on.
So, Kevin, then if I become chair, do you want to take over the chair of the trail subcommittee?
That's tough.
Oh, man.
He's willing to talk.
What sort of candy are you?
Co-chairs.
Co-chairs.
I probably would, but I don't want to talk to you about
Okay,
it.
Yeah. Fair enough. I just don't want
to
over...
It's always nice to have a returning co-chair to mentor... A new co-chair. Mm-hmm. You know? At least I always thought that.
Okay. Is there any other new business before we move on? No. Manager's report.
Okay. I'm going to fire this up to the rear view and stand for this segment. Maybe this guy's first.
You want to start off with this?
No, I'll start with the very property. Okay, Wayne Berry property, we talked about this. Over this last year, this is Northwest 11th Avenue, 149th Street. So as of this Tuesday, the board approved the staff report to acquire the property. And so it's just geographically, Fairgrounds is northeast of this. Fairgrounds Park is northeast as well. And so this is just west of I-5. And so this was a joint purchase between ourselves, Parks, and Clean Water. So Parks bought the 4.5 acres right here, the frontage, along 11th and 11th and 49th Street, 149th. And then Clean Water's going to take the actual Whipple Creek corridor and use that for projects. And so it's a great purchase. I wanted to go into this with a partnership because when we develop a park, I don't have to pay for frontage along this entire stretch. So if we own half this park, then frontage is going to be right here. So this is going to save substantially a lot of money. So the deed is it's not signed yet. We're going to close on January 2nd. The seller wants to do it, close on the 2nd for tax purposes. So it'll be in our possession as of January 2nd.
Whoop whoop.
So good. Another new park acquisition. So I'm happy to see that. Let's move on to the Robert Smoole property. This one I talked to you about, we've been kind of working on with Robert Smoole for quite some time. Unfortunately, we're not going to be able to buy this one. It's a 5-acre parcel. Northeast 50th Avenue is here. This is Northeast 131st Street. The reason we can't buy this beautiful 5-acre parcel is because it has a subdivision here with a road terminus here. Subdivision here with a road terminus. And our transportation department insists that this circulation connection is being made. Hmm. And also, the Northeast 45th Court that's supposed to drop down to the north side of this, and it doesn't make any sense for us to try to develop a property that's got this thing, kind of thing going on. And so,
if we were to buy the property, would they require us to do it?
We'd have to have circulation regardless.
You can't take an exemption or anything out of
it. No, we tried. We appealed. We did everything we could.
Makes the land more valuable when you have a park right next to you.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. I mean, we were able to do that with with Cougar Creek Woods.
Right.
You know, we were able to do a road modification and terminate it. So, I mean, to us, this is still circulation, but it's, you know, pedestrian and bicycles, not necessarily cars. But for transportation department, made these folks put this in, and then made these folks put this one in, so this has to go through. So, basically, it's going to get sold to developers, and it's going to go on homes. So, sad to see that, because it's a great property. We've got the money. We just can't buy it.
So, Bill, is there any, if there's, they let us do it at the park we're developing?
Cougar Creek Woods.
Yeah. They've got a terminus there.
Because, I think it's because of the timing. We bought the property after the one side was in, but not when the other side was put in.
Yeah.
So we had a road modification on the one side, which pretty much eliminated the other side.
My gut tells me that both those developments tried to get road mods not to put those stubs in, and if they end up being dead ended, that's not going to be.
They fought the county hard too.
Yeah. It's not going to go well for the county.
I think they had to eliminate a house to get this road stub put in. That's a big deal.
Yeah. And
developers on that.
I don't know.
So the county, they said they would. They just can't. They can't say. They can't. They can't not do this. So we're pretty much out of this one, which is unfortunate. So we'll keep on looking for a property in the 55. So. Okay, Jeremy, this one. This is Otto Brown. So this is being developed. The bids went out, and I believe they're coming in on November 14th, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. And so, as soon as the bids come in, the contractor will be able to start work on this park before the end of the year, even if they want to. And so, we're looking forward to this site being developed. We've sat on it for quite a few years, and finally got the money, and so it's going forward. So. It should be done by, I would say, mid next year, June, July of next year. So, looking forward to that happening.
Who's Otto Brown?
Otto Brown is, it's on 100 and, it's east of 152nd Avenue.
No, he's the same.
Oh, Otto Brown?
Yeah.
He was a gentleman that lived back in 1894. He built bike wheels. And wouldn't build bike wheels, I believe. So he's kind of one of the homesteaders in that area, so they named the park after him. So there's a story on it on the park's page. So I've read it quite a lot, but I don't want to go into details. But, okay, Jeremy. So Kent Conneville, talk about that real quickly. I just got to know here that we're taking the youth commission out tomorrow on a field trip, and we're going to go to Kent Conneville. So this is Kent Bonneville. This is kind of a PowerPoint presentation that's going to be coming up for a work session with the board in November. I'm not quite sure exactly when this is going to come up, but it's talking about the master plan for Kent Bonneville. So these are some of the wildlife that you see out there. The only thing you're missing is this is a hawk right here. There's also a cougar out there, and we suspect Bigfoot might be out there too. We're not sure. So this is the footprint of Kent Bonneville, 4,500 acres. Altogether, east of Green Mountain. If you were to go east on Fourth Plain, and just it's northeast of Green Mountain. And so, there's a central impact target area. We did go on that the Parks Advisory Board tour. We went up and actually looked at the site. We kind of drove right up to the central impact area. This site will never be habitable by people. That's always going to be fenced off. But the rest of the site will be open. It is anticipated that 1,000 acres will be used for regional park purposes. Another 2,000 acres will be used for trails, equestrian, bicycle, pedestrian trails, that kind of thing. So we're going to be utilizing pretty much this quadrant right up in here. So that's the idea is to go out to a master plan. It's one of our decision packages going forward. So we have a 606. I can't remember how much that was for. $600,000, I believe, for the master plan for Kent Bonneville. It's going to be a big project. So there was a reuse plan that was done back in the late 90s, and I believe it was updated in 2005. And it's a document that's about this thick, and it tells about all the amenities back then that they're planning on putting into the site. So there's currently an FBI firing range out there. the FBI is allowed to stay out there, they will actually build a public firing range for us, which is great. And we'll actually go see that tomorrow. Firing range, there's two camps, Camp Bonneville, Camp Kilpak. Those are the two original camps when the military ran it up until 1995. And they used to do maneuvers out there. And they, actually, let's just scroll through this. I'll show you. Here's where they fired from.
Oh, that's cool. I didn't see
that. So here's all the locations where they fired, their cannons, their bullets, all their guns. And here's the central impact range. All the bullets landed right here. There's no way it's ever going to be cleaned up, so that way, that's why, the reason why it's being fenced off. There's actually an addition. This piece right here is going to be fenced off as well. Okay, Jeremy? Here's some of the artifacts that we've seen, the ones that went out there and seen it. That's the board close up, and we'll actually go see that again tomorrow. Claymores, all kinds of bullets, different things that they've been cleaning up over the years. Okay, Jeremy? In addition, what's going on right now, since 2011, we've actually been doing forest management stewardship work out there, and that's basically thinning the woods. This is a before picture. This is what it looks like after. So basically, for the health of the forest, we're actually going out there and thinning, and they've been working on several sections now, and it actually is providing revenue, and all the revenue that does come in after the cost of the actual thinning, those proceeds actually will go back into park master planning and development. So we suspect that over this next year through 2017-18, we'll be bringing in about $1.3 million to some of the forest thinning practices. So it's doing a couple things. It's actually improving the health of the forest, and it's actually bringing some revenue into us, which is great. This is kind of, this is from the one of the reuse plans. It kind of shows some of the some of these are defunct, but some of the plans for the future use of the site. So we got law enforcement, Clark College, rustic retreat, outdoor school, classrooms and offices. I don't think Clark College is interested anymore. This was back then when they thought the camp was gonna be open for use 5 years later. Well, that's coming down. So the actual opening of the camp of phase one, I would suspect it's probably gonna be a few years out. It's gonna take us at least two years from now just to do the master planning. And largely because all the ordinance cleanup has taken many, many years, a lot longer than they expected. So with that, we're gonna have hiking trails as regional park components, equestrian trails, mountain bike trails, picnic access areas, amphitheater stage, restrooms, tent camping, RV camping, watch person's residence, archery range, and a lot more. There's probably going to be zip lines, disc golf course, that kind of stuff that's going to be implemented. I mean, we're talking thousands of acres here altogether. So 1,000 acres just for the park, a couple other 1,000 just for the trails. So this will basically double our, once we take this over, it'll double our regional park property. So we've got approximately 5,000 acres of regional park property. This is 4,500 acres here. And of course, about 3,000 of that will be usable. This is the 2003 version. So if you look closely, I think I had some maps that I handed out to all the folks that went on the trip. But it kind of tells you where everything's gonna be located. It's like your camping, overnight camping, where the fire ranges are at, all the different amenities. So, the one thing that I want to bring to your attention is that it's going to require this advisory board to take a pretty active role once we get into the master planning of this site to oversee the master plan. And so we'll be coming to you probably June of next year, and we're going to be setting up a series of open houses and talking about this. So, okay. In addition to that, on my manager's notes, we hired a new volunteer coordinator assistant to help Karen Well with her volunteer program. Her name is Dora Hernandez. She started with us on September 27th, and she's doing a great job so far. So it was sorely needed. So with all the volunteer hours that are going up from year to year, our popularity, it's really helping. And so the one thing I was thinking about that came up from Bratton Canyon is how can we help? And the way to do that is through the volunteer program. Sign up. And
we did.
What's that?
We did.
Did you? Good.
That was like 2 or 3 years ago when everybody's friend Gail was there.
Okay.
And we did sign up, but then when we were snafu'd with not being able to use power tools and that kind of thing, everybody just lost interest because we aren't going to go out and do just handwork when we do have the toys to actually do a good job.
Right. That's changing quite a bit now. We got some pushback back then, but things have changed a little bit. So the power tool thing is coming back around. So just so you know.
All right.
They are adults.
Yeah, it's funny. The ones we leave. So looking forward to our next PAB meeting. That's coming up in 2 weeks, obviously. And so sorry about this one being delayed. I was gone. But always look forward to our meetings here together. So in this next meeting, of course, we'll be doing the year in review as well. Eric will be coming in, Eric Christensen, and he'll be giving us his report on the parking fee program, which was reinstituted this year and did very well. And so look forward to that report from him. And so with that should wrap us for this year. So I look forward to meeting them with you again in 2 weeks. Oh, yes. So the volunteer insurance information. So Parks Advisory members, on our last field trip, we discovered that we need to sign these waivers. When I'm behind the wheel, you guys are
at risk. So there's two. So we did that one for the trip. But this is, we didn't know that we needed to have you sign this as a volunteer on the Board of County Counselors.
As PEP members in general.
So if you could each sign this, and then you'll have the opportunity to do that again in January. So please take one, pass it around, and fill it out. Please and thank you.
You got it.
Any miscellaneous updates?
I have some miscellaneous, unless we're going to do that through roundtable. So I can
table,
do
that's fine. Super. Let's start roundtable. So you want to start, Jay?
I don't have anything. Sorry about being late, Jess. Yeah.
Okay. Is that anything, Joe? Kelsey?
Nope.
All right. I'll start.
So it is official. I have passed my landscape architecture exams.
Yay!
State of Washington issued my number, so I am a landscape architect.
Congratulations.
That's the most exciting new stuff in my life. So.
Well, what about the new baby?
Well,
it's more exciting than the new baby.
Everyone knows about that.
She's not here yet,
yeah.
So technically.
She's
when did she do?
23rd.
October.
November.
Oh, I was going to say.
Thanksgiving.
Holy.
Moving on.
See you in the new year. I won't be here at the next meeting. But Barbara, Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
Great job on the survey. Thank you.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. Dave, too.
Thank you, too, Dave.
Nah, we know who did it.
Well, I have an update relative to schools and parks. So thinking about playgrounds, play surfaces, we've embarked on two schools for the soft surfacing. It's been we've been using AKS. It is not easy to retrofit an existing condition with a soft surface underneath the play structure. So it is not easy. It takes the civil engineer and the geotech and the construction and then the contractor and the playground purchasing and installing. I mean, it's just like this collaborative of people. So we've learned a lot. But Chinook, weather permitting, we need about 2-3 days for it to be completely dry for the install, but the sub bases are done. So if you were to go by Chinook, you'd see their pits are somewhat empty and sort of quarantined off, and kids can't wait to play on them. So
yeah, they can't wait. They're so excited.
Yeah. And it's always fun. It's like we give them an activity to watch it going on, you know, at recess. So.
Well, you're also filling the holes there, too, that sink each year.
Oh.
While you're
I
at
did
it.
Not
and
know
we're,
that.
Yeah.
Good job.
Mud puddles.
Engineered chips at once.
No engineered chips.
What are you using?
Everything is going to what's called a soft tile.
Okay. Yeah.
And we're doing soft tile throughout all of our elementary schools.
Right.
So that's these two, one in the county, one in the city. We thought we'd test out the installation, the market, see what things really cost. I mean, just really get it, our arms around the permitting, make sure the stormwater is happy in both jurisdictions, and then we'll work over the next few months, I hope, to kind of get a roadmap so that we can get them all in good weather after school's out, June through August, all the rest of the schools. With the exception of potentially Phillida, we'll have to hold off for one more year. We're not sure because we're doing a school expansion there. So we just want to make sure, we're pretty sure, we want to make sure the school expansion isn't where we're going to be putting that soft surface. So this stuff's not cheap, but it is really an awesome improvement for playgrounds. Then the other sort of, there's two cool things that are coming. Hauk Elementary, if you've been to that school, needs new play equipment like no other school I've ever been to. So we're going through the design process with our school to get something fantastic. So they'll get new surface and a new play structure. So that's really super fun. And then as we build the new schools, of course, we'll have an opportunity to improve our playground for inclusive play. So two of our big focuses with all of our playgrounds is inclusive play and nature play, so that every one of the new schools has a nature play element in addition to the structured play, and that the structured play is fully inclusive. So if you have a student with special needs, they can access and utilize, and there are features relative to special needs as a part of this sort of structure or side structure or pieces of or parts of the playground. And what's really exciting is at Lakeshore Elementary School, we've been working with a parent and an interested donor for a couple of years, and we have a small planning grant that we've received to master plan the Lakeshore playground. And if any of you know, Lakeshore has a larger population of students with special needs because we have spaces there that fit their needs best. And that will change a little bit as when we build Marshall. Two of those early childhood at special ed are going to a different place where they can be more with peers and inclusive of the basic ed population. But so a couple classrooms will be leaving. But in short, the concept around master planning their playground in a way that the soft surfacing, we don't have money to do new equipment at that school, but this donor is excited to have a supply for what other structures that might mean, and it's specifically for inclusive play. So we have a real awesome opportunity to learn what does inclusive play look like, speak to paraeducators who are helping students with special needs on the playground, what kind of elements do they need based on what their disabilities are, you know, and understand what are some standards around all students with disabilities and what are some specific standards around, you know, kids with autism or kids that have this type of disability or what have you. So I am super excited about that because it's been one of my sort of passions, is to get us to shift into inclusive play as a district. But without any funds, we haven't been able to yet do that. So a huge, huge opportunity coming in our community for families who have students with special needs with the new and the Lakeshore site. So, awesome. Yeah, I'm so excited about this. Oh, there, it's going to be so great. And if there's anyone who wants, I mean, we're going to do some stakeholder collection of information and all of that at Lakeshore. And if anyone wants to learn more about what is involved or what the experts are saying, experts meaning our teachers and our paraeducators and people who are working with these students every day, to be a part of that, just let me know. So.
I know you live in Phillida, don't you?
Wait, stop working
with that. Oh, sure.
I would love to get more information.
Yeah, you bet.
That's pretty darn awesome.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
We're
come up
so excited.
We go to, we're able to. It'll be a good learning experience.
Okay, yeah, that is, this will be great. I just, it's hard for school districts to take money from a random person who wants. I mean, we don't allow people to name things and all of this, so sounds difficult, right? Like, it should be easy, but We're very careful and cautious. So to have this partnership that's really flexible, and it's just, it's awesome. So I will definitely plug you guys in. If you don't want my emails, just kick them back out.
You know we want to hear them.
Yeah, I'm but so excited.
Have you talked with, well, I know you live in Philida, you're still down there, right? That new addition they're doing,
she's got
is all
with
in all-inclusive staff. Oh. I bet you she could use some of the information that you've got.
Sure.
Might want to invite her.
Children's Garden.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, yeah.
If you
sure.
Let me know. It'd be wonderful.
Yeah, this will be. When I was talking to this donor, I'm like, you have. I mean, the planning grant is smaller, right? So it's a small piece. Make sure we plan it right, and then hopefully we can execute and do it well. And it's just incredibly exciting. I just told them, look, this a little bit into this one part could really transform how our community starts to think about play, structured play areas and nature played areas. So I'm so excited.
Yeah,
that sounds like it. Well, I don't want to do the soft surfacing anymore under existing conditions. I want to do this new stuff.
Well, it's a paradigm shift.
It's a completely better way of thinking about playgrounds. And it's not dramatically different for those students who aren't, that don't have special needs. But for students that have special needs or that are not mobile, it will make a huge difference in it'll be great, yeah.
In addition to that, I mean, Vancouver Schools is going out on an edge. You know, this is cutting edge for Southwest Washington and Washington really in general. Yeah. So.
And we sort of feel like, why haven't we been doing this forever? You know, and it's been a money issue. You know, so it's going to be great. It's going to be great.
The nature play, we're noticing that if they're just using raw materials, it does not last.
Right.
Slippery. So
at Covington Park, which is one of our newer parks, we've already taken all that stuff out because it completely rotted away. Yeah. So what's nice is that Sorensen Park, because we actually did that right, and those platform that went out there is treated.
And
it's safe, and it's got the nice edges on it, and it should last a long time.
Good. Yeah, so. We've used that park for discussion many times in our landscape discussions for the new schools. You know, we're like, look, and these things and how it works. And you know, playground companies are getting astute to what our needs are, because we don't want to necessarily only use untreated raw materials, and they're coming up with, you know, wood-like looking materials that we can set into the right settings, and it can help us a little bit. I don't want to take out the whole nature piece and the ability for kids to have that textile and play experience, because that's really what they want to do for the most part. But you know, there's some things now that we can buy so that nobody worries about splinters and all the things you get. Like, it's kids, right?
Yeah, well, rust if they don't rust and they don't rot, so.
Right. So, so it's pretty exciting. Sorry, I took a long time.
No, that was good info.
I just one small thing with the Lewis and Clark Trail. I'll be going to Camas Parks and Rec on the 25th. They have their meeting there at 5:00, and I'll be telling them about the charrette. In fact, if you're not going to use your handouts about the charrette and the schedule, I'll take those, I'll recycle them, and I'll use them for that meeting on the 25th. So I'm just going to go to the public comment thing. I'll be 3-5 minutes at the most to show our hat and go for the support. Awesome. So if Camas was the only one that wasn't at the LPAB meeting, I'm excited to reach out to them.
Perfect. Awesome.
That's all.
Do we have anything interesting?
I continue to work with Camas and Washougal and the two school districts to try to get them to play nicely together and build a community center.
How's that working?
It's actually looking more positive every time.
Good.
Learned how to fool you.
They're starting to say, Camas especially is starting to say, oh, we can't afford it on our own. Maybe we will have to work with them.
That swimming pool, they got to start playing nice.
Somebody else around here is working on one too. So community centers popping up all the place. Yeah, it's all
Ridgefield and
Bellevue. It's at Ridgefield and Woodlands.
So yeah, so it's great.
That's all I've got.
Busy getting ready for the shred. As Phil said, we send out over 150 invitations. As of yet, 41 have responded affirmatively. They will be attending. We've got about 7 or 8 that are maybe coming, and only a handful, 5 that have said they're not coming at all. So we do follow up on that. And then, would anybody be willing to help with phone calls if I need help with that to actually reach out in person?
Sure.
Okay, so I'll distribute that out, and then if you could help with that, be great. I think the personal contact might get them on board.
Yeah, sure.
All right, John, I think you said something that we want to get ready. I think he's thinking about staying.
Thank you, Jennifer.
It's the contacts and the information like that that's valuable stuff to me.
Okay, well, you can't have it unless you come to these meetings.
Thank you, everyone.
At the Parks Foundation, we've got some exciting things going on right now. One of them is a partnership we've entered into called the Good Sport Equipment Connection. Maybe you've kind of heard about what that is. Good Sport Equipment Connection is, as a mother, again, I'll say at 6, part of the problem of getting kids into sport is the cost of kidding kids out for sport. 6 pair of shoes, 6 outfits, 6 this, 6 that. And I know what it was to my family. So we work with Evergreen School District, the Police Action League, and Vancouver Parks and Rec, and community partners, Nautilus, McCord's Toyota, IQ Credit Union, Clark County Association of Realtors, DeWills, and myself, and Clark College Athletics, to establish the Good Sport Equipment Connection, where we are collecting gently used sporting equipment and shoes from kids at the end of their seasons to get back to other kids so they can get back in the game. Our tagline is leveling the playing field. So making sure that we have access for all. Our collection site, first one, will be at Boothville, which is our free Halloween event with trick-or-treating and some exciting things, at Luke Key Center on the 28th of October. We're giving away a complete set of Nautilus dumbbells with a wrap. You bring in 2 items, you get a raffle ticket. We're giving away a scooter and a helmet from Kazoodles. And we're giving away Kiggins ticket and the G6 Sports Park. So we've got some great things, but we're really excited about this program because it binds our community together to make a difference. And I think that's a really important thing. Community grants open up next month. 2018 grants. Want to have a special project done and want to look at making a difference, all you have to do is have that Parks membership and we'll get your grant in and we'll see what we can do to help make your park, trail, or recreational program more robust. We're so excited about this and we think it's a great thing. So, and last but not least, you just hit 112 people.
Yay, thank you.
So.
You tripled.
Yay. Yeah, find the right popular person.
Me and my 80 right. Friends just weren't cutting it.
Someone who knows how to work it.
I've been doing marketing for forever, so.
Well, thanks. You just saved me another $5 in Facebook advertising money.
No.
Yeah, don't do the booze. Yeah.
Don't do the booze.
Or if you do, you need to take donations from the table, girl.
Okay.
Put out enough money.
No, don't take that out of the legal line.
Take the rush.
I saw you in the paper last week with your Boy Scout, Cub Scout group cleaning up Lackamas
Lake. Yeah, I saw you in the paper. Thank you, Lord.
That
was great. It was great.
Thank you.
And I saw your name on the front page of the paper this morning too, Diana. And thank you for speaking out. That was a wonderful little article about you.
Where?
On the front page of the paper this morning.
I was hoping everybody would ignore
it. Good for you to speak out.
No, for the meeting.
But thank you. I think it's really important, whatever our gifts are.
Meeting adjourned.
My own money, you know.
To speak up and ask for
have a budget from Bill.
Right, yeah. It was a very tough question
to
answer when they asked me to do it. But
glad you did.
Thank you.
For a lot of money.
Thank you.
I'm comfortable with whatever. Do you not want to
No, no. Oh. Oh, are you leaving, Diana?
To Laura.
Were you okay with
something? Yeah, you probably.
It's okay with the bad group from last time.
I haven't heard.
Sarah, can I take my backup baseball?